Blog Talk Radio.
Try call and test.
Yeah.
Did you make the bland?
Hey.
All good.
Oh, it's me. Hey.
Hey.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landon.
Welcoming
you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Fred Durst said in an interview.
That's not the bland, though.
They were ever friends.
That's last week.
The rest
week.
Of the band members couldn't be reached.
Go!
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington. Welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Rob's birthday is tomorrow and...
That's it.
Okay, I'm ready to go. All right, that's all I need is to tell. I feel like such a hacker with three laptops going.
What?
Because I have like the computer for the calls, the laptop for calls is one, and then I have the sound laptop is the other.
Nice.
I'm just like. I guess it'll be good when we have the things that Rode sent, because then I would be able to hear the talking over the computer sound
yep.
as well.
Exactly.
So it would be more realistic. Okay. All right. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Should I share on Facebook that we're going live? I probably should. All right. Oh, we already have a caller.
What?
Someone hears us. I believe it is our friend from Texas.
Oh, hello. Boy.
Hopefully
he has good news.
We'll have him on in a bit. We're about to start.
Let's
he
go.
Hears us on the blog talk.
Hello.
Let me just share on the Facebooks. Darren, I could really hear your computer interaction. Like the mouse and the. Can you maybe like move your mic away from your.
Oh, it's kind of as far away as it can go. Let me see.
Oh, okay.
How's this? I'm clicking. That?
Better, but you can still hear it. But I think when we're talking, you won't really hear it.
I mean, I need to click to play sounds, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like totally good.
Maybe I can try spacebar, but all right. I'll try these keyboard shortcuts wherever I can.
Okay. You don't have to overthink it. It's not that. I think it's only noticeable like if there's silence.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try to slip it in when we're talking.
Oh my. Oh my.
Oh my.
All right. Let's do it.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Rob's birthday is tomorrow and I had the perfect gift lined up. I was going to hack into Lambgoat's social media accounts and make it so all their links redirect to Metal Injection. So Noah would finally be forced to see one of Rob's posts. But then the Lambgoat guy went and changed his password. So sad. No gift for Rob. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Oh,
yeah.
The deceptive lamb goat people always changing their passwords.
Always ruining my fun. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome. It's another episode. Hopefully the website's loading for you.
It's Rob. Lamb goat or
lamb goat floating. It's Rob here with Noah, Sid, and 3E.
Hey. Yo. Hi, everybody.
That's another episode of the Metal Injection Livecast. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We are live Tuesday, 6:30-ish to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, available for streaming. All of our archives are on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Play, on everywhere fine podcasts are downloaded. And also, if you need yourself a little more Metal Injection Livecast than the free episodes, we have bonus episodes on our Patreon. We've been doing about two a month these last 2 months. And for as little as $5 a month, you can have access to our entire archive of bonus episodes. Just posted today a brand new painful episode. We did a watch along as requested by our patrons, voted on by you, our lovely patrons, of Until the Light Takes Us, the black metal documentary focusing on Vagrimus and Fenrez and Frost from Satyricon. And
wow, you should say the episode's not painful. It's a lot of fun. The movie's painful.
The movie is painful. Yes, that's what I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying. That is exactly what I meant. We suffered through it for your entertainment. We had a great time. We made the best of it. And we think you'll enjoy it on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And the phone lines are blowing up. You can be a part of the live action. If you're listening live, the number is 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. We had a local, we had a Brooklyn number, but they got a little scared away.
Hmm. Probably so, thought he was calling Lamb Goat, and then he heard you introducing the show.
956, you're on the Metal Injection Livecast.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Ed the Beast.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you guys doing?
Just living. Doing a podcast, hanging out.
Hey,
whoa!
What's going on?
Yeah. Is that another, like, blind person?
What's going
there?
On back there?
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
Oh, happy birthday for tomorrow, man.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday. Yeah, I don't think I said that, by the way. Happy birthday, Rob.
Thanks. It's not my birthday until tomorrow, but I'll accept it.
I'm just virtue signaling what a good friend you are to me by saying it in front of an audience of thousands of people rather than waiting for tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not on the air.
And we have no reason to talk to each other tomorrow, so just get there now. You should go back to ignoring Rob.
I tried to
virtue signal.
I'm I turned 37, and I joke that I'm approaching the end of my mid 30s.
Yeah.
And Sid's wife would not let me have it.
Oh,
she was like, "No, it's your late 30s.
Yeah.
37 is firmly your late 30s.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's your very early 40s.
I would say it's my late mid-30s. That's what it is. It's like a medium well done. You know, it's my late mid.
Yeah, but if you're like rounding up, it's 40.
Yeah.
Why would I round up? That's stupid. I'm rounding down.
No, above 5, you round up. So.
Just get over it.
At least you don't have to worry about getting menopause.
I think I might have mentioned this on the show. This is the first year that I realized how young lifeguards are. I mentioned that I've been going to the beach regularly to have some form of meditation here. And so I've been I basically go and I swim for 45 minutes, right? And I'm like, I go deep to avoid any people. I don't want to like run into somebody.
Go deep.
I don't know that you can avoid people when you go deep, Rob. That seems like really getting into the people.
Deep in the water. Come on.
Yeah, isn't that where the diapers are? That's a whole different kind of people you're getting into. The syringes are over there.
But anyway, so like I'm in the deep and I'm like, you know, if I were to drown, I'm like, look at that lifeguard. The lifeguard looks like a little shrimp. Like, he's going to save me? Like, get out of here.
Whether you're more Korean.
Just to drag you by an arm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's true.
Haven't you ever watched Baywatch?
Of course.
But they're all buff, though.
Yeah, they're all, these are like, these little twinks.
Yeah, I got a mental image of this little, you know, 5'7" twink dragging Rob out and then, like, having to stand on him with both feet to get the water out.
Rob's had that mental image, too.
Oh. Is that your kink, Rob, having been stood on with 2 feet?
No, out of the top.
Intentionally ingesting water so that you'll need to be resuscitated.
No. That is the worst part of swimming in the ocean. Ingesting the salt water.
Isn't that being the top? Like, you're sort of subjecting this sub to save your life. Like, you're forcing them to commit an act of, like, love for you.
I guess, but I'm being passive. I like to be the active.
Fair. All right. Just clarifying.
We have something in the YouTube chat. We got Dingo Hooper. very excited to have caught the episode live. And he writes, or they write, I don't know the gender of this person. They write, oh my God, I caught it live. # Sid, please have my baby. # alone forever.
Well,
thanks a lot to process there. Yeah. But sure, all
right. Oh, we still have Ed the Beast on the line.
Yeah. Ed, so what's up? How have you been? Have things taken a turn, hopefully, for the better?
Not really. I've actually been busy trying to improve my living situation. So I've been filling out applications and forms with different programs they have for housing programs for the disabled. So I've been busy doing that and keeping up with my caseworkers over at the behavioral center, because they have programs there. So I've been filling out just applications left and right. So yeah, I've been doing that, and I haven't had any problems with my uncle, even though he said he was going to get me evicted, but I haven't heard from him, so, you know, it's been quiet, and I'm just trying to get out of here and, filling out forms. It's a pain in the ass, but it's going to be worth it in the end.
Let me ask a probably stupid question, but how exactly does a blind person fill out forms? What's the process for you to fill out a form?
I have a care provider that's been with me for 8 years. So she helps me with forms, with my with my finances. She's pretty much my assistant.
And you trust her?
Oh yes, yeah.
I'm guessing 8 years.
Well, yeah, I mean she's
not like ripping you off or putting like fake information on these forms just to fuck with you. You trust that that's not happening.
No. I know I can trust her because, well, I mean, like if I give her my debit card to go do my groceries, I check. I call the bank. I check to see what the transactions were. So I do that regularly. So I know what's coming in and what's going out.
Is she around when you do these phone calls to check on her? Does she know you do that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she's okay. She's not offended that you would need to check on her?
No. After 8 years, she knows I'm a bit of a control freak. So even though I have someone, you know, to do things for me, which I'm not used to, I still need to make sure that they were done correctly.
Okay. Have things ever gotten romantic between the two of you?
Yeah.
It's a very intimate relationship. I don't know.
In the beginning, yeah, but after a while, we just came to realize that no, we're just cool being friends, and you know, she's like a sister to me now.
Okay. So in a way, you've hooked up with your sister. I guess that's cool. Say that.
Hilarious.
Rob, how does that make you feel?
Not interested.
Sure.
All right.
Well, it's not, Ed, it sounds like you're doing all the right things.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Even though it's my stress levels and my and the tension that I have on a daily basis, you know, it's pretty bad to where I'm having trouble keeping my blood pressure down. I have very high blood pressure.
Jesus Christ!
But
right? Is anything going right with your physicality here, or what? I mean, Jesus.
Have you tried meditating?
No. Have I tried what?
Have you ever tried meditating?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. I actually, I do have a few meditative techniques. When I used to train martial arts as a kid, yeah, I know how to meditate, but sometimes the stress is so overwhelming, I can't relax enough to concentrate to meditate. So I just end up just staying up for days.
Oh,
damn.
That sucks.
Yeah. But I'm just doing the best I can to better my situation for me and my daughter. And I'm sure once I get out of here, I get situated somewhere else away from all my psychotic family, I think I'll be all right.
Yeah. I mean, everything is, everything is a process. You just have to like go through this and then you'll come out on the other side and you'll feel really proud of yourself. Well, good. We'll keep
cool.
It posted.
All right, Ed. Yeah. We'll put you on hold. Thank you as always for listening.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right. That was it.
Sweetheart.
So what are we talking about here, folks?
How about your new website?
Yeah, what's that behind you?
Oh, yeah. So I launched a new web design for
was
Metal
it for
Injection.
Your birthday?
I guess it worked out that way, but that wasn't necessarily the intent.
Oh.
The site is much cleaner now. The main page, I feel, is more informative. A few of the features are still a little wonky. Been a bit of a stressful day getting everything working correctly, but I'm very excited about it. In theory, it should load faster. It's not currently, but
do more posts about real metal show up on the main page now?
Yeah. There's a checkbox now where you could just check. I only want to see real metal stories, and then it ends up loading a blank page.
No, God damn it.
Have you mastered the art of posting stories of that only affect four people in the world? That's what each person wants to only hear about what their band.
Well, it's so funny because yesterday, one of our top stories. Was posting a mashup of the infamous Cardi B song WAP with so they took the vocal track from WAP and they put it to the music track of Lamb of God's Redneck, and it came out great. And when I heard this, I was like, this is so hilarious, this is so fun, and it's like, it's celebrating metal and hip hop, you know, whatever. It's like, it's a nice little mashup. And I shared it. And I don't know, like, what I was thinking, but, like, I was so taken aback about how many people were like, no, oh, I can't escape this Cardi B. She's ever, oh, don't
okay,
spoil
we have
my
to play
lovely
it.
Metal.
We have to play it on the show now.
Sure.
Can you pull it up?
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. It's just audio, so it doesn't...
And just so we're clear, in this context, WAP stands for Wanted for Arrest in Prague, right?
Well, the vocals are still the same. So here, let me play it. Let me know if it's too loud.
Wild-ass pusher.
I can tell it's too loud.
White American pusher also works.
That's good, right?
A little louder, please. Good.
Is that the song, or is that one of you saying that?
That's the song.
That's me saying it sexually.
7 days a week. Wet ass pussy. Make that pull out game.
Sweet!
Beat it up, nigga, catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Let the nose like a credit card. Hop on top. I wanna
crash it.
Put it in my mouth.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Yeah.
I think the original's better. I didn't think it's honestly. It doesn't like
her. I don't think it's like better, but it's a fun take, you know, like it's a fun listen.
No, I get what they were trying to do. It's more like it's too contrasting. Like sometimes the contrasting style works for me, but it's like, it's too much. I almost feel like they're fighting each other.
Oh, for me, what was impressive is the groove of the beat matched the groove of the flow. I think that's why it worked. And it's just, you know, you don't expect a metal song to have the same groove as a rap song. So I think that's where the psychological, like, dopamine trigger hits. But then it's just like it's so weird that there's these, I mean, it's not weird. It's just like there's these metalheads that, you know, have to be completely separated from hip hop and mainstream culture. And it's like, get over yourself.
Well, you're committing a cardinal sin by, like, introducing something not metal into the metal sphere, you know?
Right.
Well, did Randy Blige just say recently about wanting to tour with non-metal bands?
He said he wanted to bang Cardi B, I heard. Is that true?
No, he's happily married.
Oh, okay. I might have heard that on Lamb Goat.
I think really what it is he hates hip hop so much that he wants to push some hip hop fans off of the stage just assaulting metalheads.
Or just the rappers, maybe.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He sneaks up to you, think they're going to do a little collaboration, and then he just shoves Jay-Z off the stage entirely. Yeah. That's fucked up.
He went and found Swizz Beatz so that he could do a collabo with Ja Rule, like Metallica did.
All right, that I'm okay with.
Thank you for reminding me, because I extracted some audio from Metallica's Howard Stern interview I wanted to play. But first, what Randy said, Noah, to answer your question, I've pulled it up here on my website, metalinjection.net. He said,
"Oh, the new metalinjection.net,
the new
loading,
and improved, yes,
the theoretically faster loading metalinjection.net."
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, you buried the lead on this redesign. You forgot to mention Babe of the Day is back, right?
Oh, you're kidding! Oh, thank God!
Finally!
Finally! Waiting for that.
No, so Randy says about wanting to tour with non-metal bands. He says, "I'd love to do a tour where we don't have to carry out metal bands, and it's just all different genres like a moving festival. I listen to many genres."
I'm sorry, time out. Did he say we have to carry metal bands? Is that like some sort of... Did I hear that right?
Oh, carry out metal bands. I think it's just like inside biz lingo of like who they're taking out on the road. Like he's saying we would headline and our support act.
I thought it was
it wasn't a dig.
I thought it's like he's Shawn Michaels and they're Marty Jannetty.
No. I don't think that's what he means.
Okay.
So he continues, "I listen to many genres and they inform what I do, from electronica and reggae to hip hop and country music. I love to carry out something that takes all the music I like and let people who truly love music show up." I get what he's saying, and I think stuff like that is cool, but it will work for metalheads.
Yeah.
Because Metallica tried to do this when they did Orion Festival, when they tried to book their own festival, they booked like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then I guess the first year was a little more metal than the second year. The second year, they just went mostly like alt rock. And nobody, like their fans didn't want that. Their fans wanted metal.
Was this at the time that they were alt rock?
This was like 5 years ago. Here, let me pull up the lineups just so we could.
It was only 5 years. It had to have been more than 5 years
ago. You're right. You know what? You're totally right. It's probably closer to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just my concept of time is like complete. Well, okay, 2012, 8 years ago. We could meet in the middle.
Yeah. 10 years ago is like Death Magnetic already, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
That's like 11 years, actually.
Okay, so the first year, they did it 2 years. The first year, it was headlined by Metallica, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Deftones, Rise Against, Dropkick Murphys, The Joy Formidable, Go-Go Birdello, Japan Droids.
Birdello was great.
And comedy,
Fu Manchu,
right?
I guess they did. What's their comedy? I don't see any comedy.
Or was that just the second year?
No, that was just watching Lars play drums.
Rocket from the Crypt,
ooh.
Death Grips, Silver Sun Pickups.
It's just like Lollapalooza.
I guess
it's just
like
what a Lollapalooza would be.
Right. And then the next year, they had Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Volbeat, Gary Clark. No, we went to the first year. Oh, no. I'm sorry. What I was reading was the second year. Now this is the first year. Sorry. Okay, yes. This is the one that we went to.
The new redesign of Metal Injection.
This is Wikipedia. This is Wikipedia.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Come on. I can't read. All right. Anyway, there was comedians on the year you were. You're right. It was Don Jameson, Jim Brewer, Jim Florentine.
Shuley,
that's right. And Liturgy. That's funny that Liturgy played the same, the same stage as Shuley. Like this obscure New York black metal band.
Did Shuley join their set at all?
I mean, he's probably more into the Battlecross set. Okay, in the chat, in the YouTube chat, our YouTube chat's blowing up today. Rob with two B's writes that Walk This Way and the Judgment Night soundtrack are still the best of rap and rock collaborating.
The Judgment Night soundtrack's a little hit and miss. I mean, there's some real trash on that. It's like 50% gold and then 50% trash. But there are some great songs. That Ice-T and Slayer song is just fantastic. It's like probably one of my favorite Slayer songs, let alone that Ice-T is on it.
But I think it would be cool. I think, like, I kind of felt it. I always feel it when there's a mainstream award show, like the Video Music Awards were this past Sunday, and I watched it.
You watched the whole thing.
No. I fast forwarded through it. There's no way I could have watched the 3 hours. Like, but
it was
there,
three
I will.
Hours?
That sounds low to me.
I think, or oh. 2 hours, 2.5.
Rob, how excited were you when Maluma won for Best Latin Performance? You must have been like out of your seat.
Exactly. Yeah. I that whole part I just skimmed through. But you know, I will say aesthetically, it was very impressive. Money they threw at putting together a great production with no audience.
With the world crumbling and people about to be homeless.
Right, exactly.
So did they use like a sound effect for audience? Because I heard clapping and stuff.
Yeah. It was all canned audiences. But then, if you didn't see it, don't blame you. But the whole award show was essentially done on a green screen, and like they had this virtual set of like the VMAs were on the rooftops of New York City, and then in the large buildings that were these rooftops were on, there were windows, and like the lights were on, and the people in the windows were like fans on Zoom, so that's how they integrated like live fans. And so they had the awards presentation, and then when there would be performances, it would either be on location somewhere in New York, or they rented an outdoor like performance space in Brooklyn where you just see the skyline, and then there would be performances there. And these motherfuckers are so good at product integration. You know how there's been like these drive-in shows? So there was an audience of like models or whatever, like made to look like a drive-in show, and they sold a sponsorship. So all the cars were a specific make, a brand that got like a livery. And I was blown away. I was like, this is top of the line product integration, you know? But the performances were good. Like The Weeknd did a performance on like the Edge at Hudson Yards. So it was like on the, like, it's like 50 stories in the sky. And then like this one floor has like a glass floor that extends out. So you're just, he was just on that. And then they had helicopters shooting it. Like the budget on this was absurd. You know, like who the hell has this kind of money anymore?
Well, that's why they probably had all the product placement.
Yeah, exactly. And then there, what's funny is like the Weeknd's performance ended with a huge fireworks show. And I was wondering, I was like, well, this, there's no way this is live. There's no way they could have pulled off this production with the helicopter and like how you don't hear the helicopter sound in the performance. You know, there's no way this is live. And I found out it was like 2 days before because there were multiple noise complaints.
Yes, I heard it here where I live. It was like at 11:30 at night. I thought we were getting bombed.
Yes, so the
yeah, you're pretty far from that.
Well, it was on the river, so it was just she's on the other side of the river. But what's funny about it is they had a permit for like 7 to 9, but it was raining, so like you said, it didn't start till 11. And the best performance easily was Lady Gaga.
And Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande was a part of it. But so Lady Gaga did like a medley of songs off of her new album. And she did a costume change for each song. Because it wasn't live, they could just cut it up, you know? Like,
that's cheating. You got to do what you can do in a real live performance. That's not fair.
Why?
Because. It's cheating. I feel about this the way Sid feels about breast implants.
It was still a live performance. There was just like a little
sure.
A little pause.
Sure, you can do it, but should you?
Yeah. And what I loved about her performance is she had a mask on the entire time. Even with her costume changes, she would have mask costume changes. So it's like not. I mean, obviously you don't see her lips move. But I like that the message that it sent of like
the message is that she's just ripping off Sia. That's not cool. Fuck out of here. She already played that shit.
The message is she doesn't feel like lip syncing. That's what it is.
But to bring it back to what we were talking about with rap and rock coming together, what was sad was there was no rock on the show. Like Lady Gaga's, punk death metal-y Chromatica logo, which is the name of her album, was as close to rock on the show. The only rock was Machine Gun Kelly, who is apparently now transitioning from rap to rock. He has like a pop punk album with Travis Barker, and that wasn't even on the main show. That was on the pre-show. That's it. Like rock is so not in the mainstream conversation, and it's like a bummer. So
I liked Lady Gaga's performance, but I like my favorite one was when they had Doja Cat performing on top of Kurt Loder's Cryer Chamber. I just thought it was a nice set piece, you know?
He got that nice upskirt look the whole time. It was wasted on him, but he had it.
I'm looking at Doja Cat's vagina. MTV News.
And like, Doja Cat did have a really, really fun performance, actually.
Yeah,
I thought it was to hear tonight.
But who the hell is DaBaby?
A rapper?
I know. That's gotta be like one of the worst things. I was not impressed.
At least it's not DaBaby. Lil DaBaby.
Yeah. Well, that's the like.
At least it's not 7-year-old DaBaby.
That'd be better. Imagine how you're just dating yourself. But I always used to think this about like Young Jeezy and all that stuff. Like, what's gonna happen when you're doing a tour when you're 50 and you gotta be young?
You're still Young Jeezy, yeah.
And you got sciatica or whatever, you know.
You're just Jeezy then.
But DaBaby is your
whole.
Like
Lil Bow Wow is Bow Wow.
Bow Wow. But what do you do with the baby? The grown up?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess
the adult.
The artist formerly known as the baby.
The AARP member.
Yeah.
Okay. That solved that. She can get in the cryo chamber with Kurt Loder.
Yeah.
What about the Metallica clips, Rob?
Oh, thank you, Noah. You're keeping the show on track.
Ew. Wait, what? Jokes are taking it off track? Screw you, buddy.
So did
Noah,
that.
Stop sucking up. Teacher's pet. Rob's pet.
I'm just following our rundown. That's all.
So,
your good graces because of all the land.
Metallica were guests on the Howard Stern show last week or 2 weeks ago.
Speaking of cryo chambers.
And I'm trying to find this audio here. Give me a second. But they brought up Lou Reed.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening, and it was a little weird because Howard was like asking all these leading questions about them in the 80s and like all the bands that they were feuding with, and they just kind of didn't want to like answer it, or it was like stuff they haven't thought about in a million years. Where are these clips? I can't find them.
Has he not interviewed them in the last decade? Like, why is he asking these questions?
Yeah, that's what I don't get that either. But so
he's just looking for a sound bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's totally what it was. He was talking about like Dokken and whatever.
He should have played like Vince Neil's cameos and had them critique.
Oh my god.
Alright, well sorry, go ahead.
I just played Vince Neil's cameos on the MTV Awards. I watched that for 3 hours. 3 hour string of them. Unedited.
Would you ever say to like somebody out of left field, let's write a song together?
Hold on. There's video here, too.
You should ask them would they ever work with Ja Rule and not know
that. Well, they bring up Ja Rule. They bring it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to hear this.
Isn't that crazy?
Jason Newsted, like an old Jason Newsted.
Oh, my God, it does.
I was going to ask you if that was Lou or Jason.
It's like toothless Jason Newsted. Wow. And
maybe
James
that's why they
looks like he's
him.
15 sitting next to him. That's the youngest I've seen James Hetfield look.
Well,
ever.
That's why they did Lulu. Yeah. You get to stand next to the
that's right.
The schmuck falling apart.
Did they coordinate outfits? It looks
this
like they got
this
dressed
is probably
together.
Their photo shoot. Yeah, this is
okay.
Probably from their photo shoot.
They just recorded an album with Sumner Redstone that's coming out.
A posthumous album?
Sumner
yeah.
Redstone died.
Yeah, exactly. They got it out right before he passed away.
The S in S&M stands for Sumner.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. No, I didn't.
Also, that's the table that they sing about.
Wait, but how can the table be in the same picture with James Hetfield if he is it?
Mm-hmm.
Good
that's
question.
Just that's exactly.
His face looks like an ass.
Fuck with the perceptions. Okay, I found the audio that I pulled, so we don't have to. Listen to that. But the whole thing is actually really good, I have to say. The performances that they did, I posted it on the new and improved, hopefully, speedymetalinjection.net. You could see they did Wherever I May Roam, I think? No. Or For Whom the Bell Tolls. What's the one?
For Whom the Bell Tolls. That's right.
No. It's Wherever I May Roam they did. And it sounded great. Like the mix was awesome. Darren, I think you're muted.
Yeah.
But let me pull up this audio here.
I was just saying that For Whom the Bell Tolls and Wherever I May Roam are very similar songs. So.
Yeah.
very easy to make sense.
I had to actually, like, in my head, do the, wait, what song is, oh, that's for that.
And which one is that?
That's Where Were I in My Room.
Ah, you got it. Correct.
So let's see.
So
Metallica wrote
now,
a song with Joni Mitchell.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just
imagining
a video of For Whom the Bell Tolls where it's Lou Reed as the guy in the wheelchair from Breaking Bad ringing the bell in that season finale.
Hector.
Yes, that's right.
Hector Salamanca.
Yeah. And the bell tolls for Lou Reed. Go on.
So now, see, they edited this out of the video, but the context of how they got onto Lou Reed is he was like, you guys need to collaborate with someone out of left field, like Joni Mitchell.
Is she still alive?
Is she? I don't know. I think so.
I don't know. It seems crazy, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. I thought the Lou Reed thing was a great experiment on your guys' part. I mean, Lou Reed, who's better than fucking Lou Reed? I mean, you know.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So this is the clip. Let me just fast forward a little more.
The pissed, more straight, you know, square metal dudes off a little bit, I think is good to always fuck with the perceptions a little bit. And I loved it. I loved
was
it.
Lou,
always
was
have
Lou,
that accent.
I always heard he was like one of.
He's from Denmark.
I mean,
you're
right.
He didn't like me for a bunch of reasons, but I always heard that he was the angriest motherfucker on the planet. Like,
so many of those dudes in the 60s and 70s, so much resentments and that thing that he had, especially like you were saying with the press and so on, was just a shield to keep everybody at bay. I mean, he was even with us a little bit that we met him out in New York. We were doing that show at Madison Square Garden that Jan Wenner was throwing for Rolling.
There's like a Kirk Hammett story in here where Lou Reed yells at him.
Oh, really?
In arms and kind of, yeah. We shared certain outsider elements. He totally let his guard down, and then he was the sweetest man.
Really?
It was absolutely so fucking sweet. It was, I think we all in some way kind of became protective over him, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. It was really, really funny because when we were in here jamming, you know, he had his own kind of set of rules, right? And so when we were playing some song, I stepped on the wah pedal, and he instantly ran up to the microphone and said, "No!" Looked at him, he goes, "No wah pedal, no guitar solos, no." And I was like, "Whoa,
that's all I do."
Why would a creative have no's? I mean, what if the wah pedal really fucking works? I mean, why not be open to it? I mean, what is it like? Why is that a cool factor? Hey, man, I don't use wah pedals. It's got to be the pure sound of the guitar. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what is that? That's like my parents won't get a computer, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Okay, so this is what happened, all right? He said no guitar.
Which, it's like, not like your parents using a computer, though. You know, like, I don't think it's an old man thing. It's just that's how he makes music. What do you guys think?
Well, there were like wah pedals when Lou Reed was a young man, weren't there? It's not like a new development or something. Why would that be an old man?
I think they were invented like when he was like young, but like an adult.
But he just comes from a different like school of making music.
It was invented in 66. So he was already, he was like, you don't need that shit. You know, it's like,
Hendrix used that shit. But my point is like, why, like, I think it's more just him being insane. Like
it's
micromanager.
But yeah, he wants organic sounds. You're right with the control freak part.
Solos. All right. So one song I thought, we need a guitar solo. So I had to write Lou a letter. I had to send him a letter. And I had to wait.
Certified mail.
Dear Mr. Lou Reed. Can you imagine Dave Mustaine? You Lou Reed?
Mr. Reed, sir, I'd just like to say that solos are very important to who I am as a person. I'm not allowed to play one. I'm going to have to consider you a fucking Dew Claw.
A Lou Claw.
A Lou Claw. A total waste of skin and life.
Total waste of skin and life.
Well, His skin is probably not around.
Who would be like the Dave Mustaine Lou Reed equivalent? Like if he did a collaboration, like Metallica got Lou Reed, who would be the Dave Mustaine version of that kind of a musician?
Who's the Dave Mustaine of like the 70s, that scene? That's a good question.
Let's see.
This is, I'm going to agonize over this all week now until I come up with the perfect.
Well, who's like a real annoying person, a musician, but really like a good musician, a good talented artist, but an asshole?
Peter Frampton?
Is he an asshole? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he a good artist? I got that Frampton Comes Alive, but.
God damn it.
I don't know.
Tough one. You got something to think about.
That's a good question of the week.
Some answers. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give us a ring a ding.
Wait. I know who. I know who.
Mikey Bibbo.
Can I just say, I love that we posted that clip on Twitter and people were like, "He says making people." They totally didn't get it.
Oh, my God.
Well, you understand. Something people have to understand is when we're doing this show, there's like 100 things going on, and we hear it for the first time.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? Like, after that, I completely knew what he said.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just...
Our version is more fun.
And also, you know, you do pick it out what he's saying, but that's pretty far from making people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his accent.
Making people.
How do you get from making to a long I sound? That's a real
making, making people.
Mikey Babel. Well, that's just probably everybody from his town. And then you got like a little bit of old man drawl in there, you know.
Let's hear it again. One more time.
Mikey Babel. Mikey Bibble.
Here, Mikey Bibble.
Well, also, see, it's also a
Mikey
mic.
Bibble.
Yeah, because it's the mic picking up the pop of the P. If it doesn't pick up the pop, then it sounds more like a B.
Mikey Bibble.
I think he's saying Bibble. I honestly, now that I think about it, there might be a person named Mikey Bibble.
All right, well, let's hear a little more of this.
Wasn't he a point guard, Mikey Bibble?
Mike Bibby. the
treaded
Mike Bibby.
Wait for his reply. He never.
Oh, replied. So he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter. That's right.
I saw him the next day at rehearsal, and he said, "Oh, I got your email, by the way." And that was it. That was
no.
That when he replied.
But
what
was
his?
No.
Oh,
You realize though.
Giving Kirk Hammett a hard time, though, right? Like, it's pretty obvious. He didn't realize that was Kirk Hammett. He thought that was Carlos Santana. And he's got a grudge against Carlos Santana because in 1972, he hit on his girlfriend at the Grammys.
That's it.
So he's just never forgiven Carlos Santana.
Now, I'm a little bit disappointed by that story because it's either one of two things. Well, one of them would be disappointing, which is that he really just used letter as a euphemism for email.
Yeah.
And Lou Reed has email. I was hoping he actually had Lou Reed forced him to take a quill pen and write a fucking letter on a vellum scroll. Or the good interpretation of that story is that Lou doesn't know what emails are, and when he receives a letter, he thinks that's an email.
I thought you were going to go even, I think a more realistic interpretation is Lou has an email address, but he doesn't have a smartphone. Doesn't have a computer. He has an assistant who prints out his emails.
Yes. That's it. That's it. That's 100%.
Just like it's a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. You know, like let's get that at like all the spam. I want every email printed, no matter how trivial.
And that assistant's name? You know what it is?
Mikey Bibble.
Mikey, I want my Bed Bath & Beyond 10% off Groupon printed out right now. Where's my mail?
There's a Nigerian prince. He needs my help.
God.
No, just I got your email.
But what was Lou's point of view? I think I'm trying to think of his songs because God, I love Lou Reed, but like,
I think that was it, just the story. But then I want a song, but I love Lou Reed.
How can you name a Lou Reed?
Like,
Rob, name a Lou Reed song.
Walk on the Wild Side.
Very good.
That's the only one I could have named, to be honest with you. Sunday Morning.
Heroin.
That's all I know. Besides Lulu. I know more songs from Lulu than real Lou Reed. Being honest. I like old music. I've never been a fan of Lou Reed. I just don't get it.
Velvet Underground, too?
Velvet Underground. I mean, not really. I mean, I can't say I've delved too deep into it.
The Velvet Underground and Nico is like it's like a warm cup of tea. It's very, very pleasant.
Okay. Put them on your Spotify playlist next week.
Maybe I'll do that.
Dang it. All right, here. So then there was another clip. This was also around the same time where Howard is inquiring about them collaborating with other artists and other genres.
I love that rehearsal video. It really has some great energy to it. But I never thought in my life I would see James singing vocals with Lady
Gaga. Oh, so they're talking about Lady Gaga, the performance at the Grammys, just to give the context.
On trading off with her. I mean, it was kind of mind blowing. Would you guys ever consider, now that you're, you know, in a different time and place, would you ever say to somebody out of left field, maybe Lady Gaga, someone like that, let's write a song together. Let's collaborate on something. Would that be insane? Because in essence, all music, whether it's metal, rock, pop, it's all about the melodies. It's all about, you know, any great song, it can come about even if you mix up these things. Or would that be would that just be something that could never happen?
We did a version of that called Lulu with Lou Reed.
Lou Reed. I know.
And we also did a thing back in the day that was not as well known as the Lulu thing with Ja Rule and Swiss Beats. So we've done stuff with different artists. I think for Metallica,
I like how he said Swiss Beats because he spells them with Z's.
I don't think there's any artists that we wouldn't consider as long as we respect them and appreciate their craft.
Did he just say in a roundabout way that he respects Ja Rule and appreciates his
craft? I mean,
back
then.
Yeah, no, he's saying he doesn't respect them because they never did anything with him again. They just didn't know who he was. They sent the tracks in.
Wait, let's hear how he phrased it.
Well known as the Lulu thing with Ja Rule and Swiss Beats. So we've done stuff with different artists. I think.
Wait, let me go back and do a second.
Well known as the Lulu thing with Ja Rule. And we also did a thing back in the day that was not as well known as the Lulu thing with
I like when you call it the Lulu thing.
I noticed he didn't say popular because Lulu is in no way popular whatsoever.
Right. And the reason it wasn't well known is because it was terrible and they didn't want to promote it.
And as far as it's well known, it's despised and people only make fun of it and know the I Am the Table thing.
But at least with Lou Reed, they were in the same room together at some point in the process.
I was talking to someone maybe a couple months ago or something, and we were talking, Lulu came up somehow, and they thought it was a song. Like, I had to explain to them, no, it's a full album. They thought, and it was like almost an argument, like, no, you're wrong. Lulu's a whole album of that? I Am the Table? I was like, look it up.
And I see, so they thought Lulu was just the I Am the Table meme.
Right, they thought it was a song that contained I Am the Table, and Lou Reed and Metallica did one song together. A whole concept album.
I've listened to it from beginning to end, and it is brutal.
It's horrible.
Brutal.
You can't get through it. It's just
like even with the kindest interpretation, it's hard. It's so hard. The only it's bad.
It's like Lou Reed's self masturbatory poetry put over bad Metallica riffs that left over from I Disappear era. It's the worst of both of them.
So there's that. I'm not sure if there's really that much more to this audio past that.
Okay.
Do you like the performance?
I saw the craziest thing once.
The performance of what?
On Serve? Yeah, I was saying how Wherever I May Roam was one of the songs and how it sounded great. They were doing it to promote their drive-in movie thing, which was this past weekend.
How'd that go?
And you went to that, right? How was that?
I did not go to that.
They raised a lot of money, right?
Wait, some kind of lib?
Did they?
Was
no, I think the
charity?
Money... No, that was for their pockets.
Yeah.
No, they were the charity thing was they would do live streams every Monday of a concert,
oh,
and they would
right.
run fundraisers, and so those fundraisers generated like $100,000.
Oh dear, why don't they just give $100,000? Like, are they worth $1 trillion?
But. Okay, yeah, so that was – but speaking of drive-ins, Noah, you went to a live performance this past week, right? You saw live entertainment live, like not on your TV, not at a drive-in, in person.
Yes.
She was at the Doja Cat performance on top of Kurt Loder's Pride Show.
All that. I was under Kurt Loder.
Oh, was it a Kurt Loder sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about it, Noah.
I went to see a comedy show at the Monmouth Racetrack. It was an outdoor comedy show. It wasn't like on the racetrack. At first I thought it would be, but it wasn't. There's like a restaurant that has like a huge garden. And, you know, they spaced all the tables.
Did it feel safe? Did you feel safe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was outdoors.
Yeah, I'm much more comfortable with doing stuff outdoors. That's why I think winter is going to be very depressing.
Were there any male comedians there, though? Because then you probably weren't safe, even if you felt safe.
Yes.
Who was there? Who performed?
Who jerked off in front of you?
Well, actually, I went to two comedy shows. I went to one in Astoria on Sunday, and then I went to the one at the racetrack on Saturday. And the one in Astoria... was like it was at this like in this Italian it was not in an Italian restaurant. At first I thought it was going to be on this like on the sidewalk, because when you look the restaurant up on Yelp, there's no backspace or outside seating. It's just like they have the tables on the sidewalk, but what they ended up doing was they used the parking lot of the restaurant, like where the loading dock is, and they set up tables, and the comedians had like a little stage in the front. And it was really fun, but the guy who owned it was definitely in like the mafia or something. So it was nice. Okay, so who did I see? So on Saturday, I saw
Mikey
Pibble.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, I saw Mikey Bibble, Nikki Glaser, Andrew Collin, who's a great comedian, and Ari Findling. And then on Saturday, I saw a whole bunch. It was Cypher Sounds and Wilson Vince were hosting it. And then Gary Veeder, Dan Soder. This girl, she was great. I think her name was Kate something. I can't remember.
Kate Bimble.
But you know what was funny? So the guy who owned the restaurant, definitely, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about him at all, but he just like did this thing where he, like, this woman is performing. She's doing great. She's making everybody laugh. And he comes and he just like throws a wad of cash on her. And she's just like, what the hell? And he did that twice in the show. I think he was just like throwing them extra money.
They're having it paid?
I think that's just like a bonus. Yeah, he made it rain on them, exactly.
I got people, you know, I heard you were on a podcast talking about me throwing money on my my comedians. You know what I mean? You think you're smart? What are you talking about me?
Take it easy.
Take it easy. OS for life.
How was the red sauce? It's good.
I had vodka sauce.
Ooh.
Do you have a bottle of red? Bottle of white?
No. No drinking.
All depends upon
you. Were you drinking, like, water? You know, like, what was the protocol there?
Oh, you could order alcohol. I just don't drink alcohol anymore. But
No, I understand. But, like, was it – okay, so was it in a plastic cup? Plastic cup.
They had covers for the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food.
What was the bathroom situation like?
So the bathroom situation, what you had to go inside of the restaurant, but you, you know, like when you go indoor, you have to wear a mask.
So you didn't have to wear a mask at your table?
No. Because they spaced everyone out. So I was just sitting with my friend.
How much was the
space?
People
were eating and drinking anyway.
Yeah. How, like, it was like ample space, right? It was like more than 6 feet.
Yes,
or,
at
right?
both shows, it was definitely ample space. And I wasn't even sitting across from anyone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was, you would face forward. So your projectile goes forward, but there's no one on the other end receiving it.
It goes on their back, like Pee Wee Herman in the porn theater.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, as long as it's nice outside, I think it's worth it to take advantage. Especially in New York, where the cases are low.
Okay.
Well, good to know. That's very reassuring, genuinely, because it's like
they look.
That kind of stuff.
I think they're like, you know, like they want to, the restaurants and performance spaces, they want to make it work, and they're all taking like really good protocols. There's sanitizers everywhere. The waiters are masked. When they talk to you, they wear the mask. When you're on the line to get in, you have to wear a mask. Anytime you leave a table, you have to keep your mask on. So I don't know. It just seemed safe and it was fun. And to see a live performance was great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
remember any jokes stand out?
Were there any good COVID jokes?
Oh, a lot. So do you know the comedian Mike Vecchione?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
He is so funny. So he opened up the whole thing. He had a bunch of really good COVID jokes. And it was, you know, because it was in the parking lot in Astoria, the second show, there's basically like residents living around. So Dan Soder just kind of made the joke of how, like, you know, these people are like, God, why are they having this show for these people desperate for attention? It was obviously funnier the way he said it, but I can't.
I would hope.
I don't know. I think you couldn't
be less.
Fun.
Well, speaking of fun, I have a fun story to share. I've mentioned on the show how I've been going to the beach every morning. I just wake up, I walk Babka, and then I head to the beach because it's only like, it's less than half an hour away. I try. It's very exciting. And, you know, I'm in my bathing suit and I typically do not take my wallet.
What type of bathing suit do you wear?
I wear like board shorts.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Why? What did you, what were you visualizing there?
Speedo?
G-string?
No.
Like those like Euro shorts, the tight ones.
Like trunks. Like the trunks. No, I need
but
a loose. I like
a singlet.
He's got the amateur wrestling headgear. He's just straight up old school Kurt Angle. Just running into the water. But wait, so you say you don't take your wallet. Do you mean just into the water or at all?
At all.
So you leave it at home?
Yes.
But what about if you get pulled over and you need to give your ID to the cops?
That's a great question, Sid.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, that's why I got arrested the other day. Oh, I was wondering.
So there's an entrance to the highway right by where I live, so it's very quick for me to get there. And this last week, it's been closed for construction. So there's like a detour, and I basically have to take the streets to the next entrance, adding like, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to my ride or whatever. So I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I when I got on the highway, because the lane, like the entrance lane became like the right lane of a 3-lane highway. So I didn't have to merge and it was a completely blank lane. So just, I wasn't paying attention and I started speeding. And then all of a sudden I see in like a rest stop, there's a highway patrol car and I like stop and it's like, clearly I've been caught because the guy starts following me and, turns on his lights, so I get out of the lane thinking, oh, maybe he wants to just pass. And he's like, no, I'm pulling you over, buddy. So pulls me over, and he goes, license and registration, please. And I'm freaking out because I don't have my license. Like, I'm not like free. Like, I'm freaking out in this of like my anxiety is like my heart is racing like that, and I'm trying to be like. I'm trying to like mentally calm myself down to not do or say anything stupid and just be like, be cool. You know, you're just going to the beach. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, officer. I just got on the beach.
With this backpack full of marijuana.
Yeah.
I did not have any marijuana in the car.
Wow.
How's that possible?
Why would I just smoke it before I leave? Like, why do I have to do
I don't know what you do. Maybe you pack a bowl when you're at the beach. I don't know.
No, I've stopped traveling with my stuff. I like to not do it in public. It's too windy on the beach anyway, so it wouldn't even work.
He just doesn't have to share with all the babushkas.
But
now you don't want to do it in public. Great.
Well, yeah, now that I didn't have my own place back then.
I guess he learned from the time you guys got arrested.
Well, so
12 years later.
Okay, wait. So what happened?
What do you mean? Hold on. It all ties back. So just for context, if you're a new listener, something Darren will never let me live down.
Well, you guys bring it up a lot too. I was gonna say.
Is that about how long ago was it now?
It was 2006. 2006.
Do you remember the day? 14
years ago.
I do. I don't remember the day, but it was around 8 p.m.
And it was like in August or September for sure. So we were on like 8th Avenue in Manhattan, which is not necessarily the most spot, but a pretty busy avenue. And I was smoking a one hitter. I was actually trading off a one hitter with my friend Anthony. He was a little further ahead of me, and I guess I took a hit, and a cop spotted me, and he arrested both me and Darren, who just happened to be standing next to me, like, was not smoking at all, had nothing to do with this other than just being right next to me. And then basically we spent a few hours in a holding cell, and then we had to do a court appearance and then go watch a fucking dumb video. So that's the summary.
Right.
So now back to present day. Freaking out. I don't have it. But I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, hold on right there. He comes back and I'm just like, oh God, like, just give me the ticket. Let me just leave. He brings out his cell phone and he's like, tell me, what's your name? Do you have a middle name?
You're going to look up your posts about police law enforcement.
Oh no, Rob. No.
So he leaves again. He comes back. He goes, have you ever been arrested? And I go, like, you know, obviously my mind immediately goes to when we got arrested. But for some reason, like, I seem to remember that if we took that class, the whole thing was, it would have been stricken from our record.
It's sealed, not stricken.
Oh, okay. So I misunderstood it. Anyway.
I don't think they can look it up though. And the police, in their own little car, they can't. Like a judge can open it.
You're incorrect, Darren, because he asks me, "Have you ever been arrested?" And I go, "Well, yeah, about I don't know, 12, 13 years ago." He's like, "You were picked up for pot?" And I was like, "Yes, that's exactly."
Was he the cop? It's like, "Oh my God, Rob, I haven't seen you in a dozen years."
No, he's like. Well, it turns out I am in the system for that arrest. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't in the system for that, because I was in the system, they had my like license info and he could then proceed to check my license and run my plates and then give me a ticket. And he was actually very nice and only gave me the speeding ticket, did not give me a ticket for driving without a license. So highly recommended. I just at the very least take a photo of my driver's license to have something to present to the office, because you don't necessarily need the physical. They just need the number.
Nice of him.
And he said that if that arrest wasn't in the system, I wouldn't have been arrested, but I would have had to have been detained. They would have had to impound my car until they would be able to like confirm my
identity. Verify who you are.
Yeah. And so, Darren, in a very roundabout way, our arrest from 14 years ago absolutely saved my ass here.
How does that make you feel, Darren?
Well, I'm waiting till I reap a benefit of it. Maybe it'll be another 15 years.
If you ever get pulled over or stopped by an NYPD officer and you don't happen to have your ID, just let them know, officer, I was arrested at some point in 2014. My record is there.
After martial law is imposed, I'm sure that'll be better.
It's like Homer Simpson and Frank Grimes. That was the guy's name, right?
Honestly, the ticket is for $200, which is brutal. But the whole scenario was so funny to me, and how it like tied back to the live cast that it completely like numbed the pain of the ticket. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't believe how it all worked out. And then 5 minutes later, I was in the ocean swimming, laughing about it.
Motherfucker!
What a wonderful world it is for white people. I like the privilege was like, well, like insane, like of all aspects, like my criminal record was used to like keep me free. Whereas if I was a black person getting picked up for VOD, I would probably be in jail right now. Like,
wait, but there's an epilogue to the story. There's an FBI agent at your door. They found out from that search that you're actually half Iranian.
Oh.
And they're here to say, no, sorry, you don't get off anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I got to go, guys, then.
It was a pleasure knowing you.
Wow. That was good. Officer, if you're listening, the number is 213-WIDENUT. 213-943-3688. I'm a little flustered from the story. And also, I want to mention that we have brought back the music break in a new way. We have brought it back in the form of a Spotify playlist. Noah, tell our wonderful listeners what we're doing here.
Well, every week we each pick our song and we add it to our Metal Injection Livecast music break playlist on Spotify. So look for it, follow it. You can hear what we're listening to. It's usually in the order of Rob, Darren, Sid, and then me. And all of our latest choices are up on the top.
It's true. It's true.
So go ahead and follow it.
Yeah.
I like it. Hold on. Let me read our choices for this week. Okay. So this week, Rob pays tribute to Riley from Power Trip by choosing...
Yes.
The Executioner's Tax. Darren picked Big Bottom by Spinal Tap. Sid picked
Classic.
Man Should Surrender by Palehead, a band I've never heard of, but
who's
now
Palehead,
I hear
Sid?
Them.
It's E from Fugazi did a collaboration with the guys from Ministry in 1988.
Oh.
Who,
they did like
I'm sorry. Who from Fugazi you broke up?
Ian MacKay.
Ian MacKay.
Yeah, yeah.
With Al Jorgensen?
Uh-huh.
What? That, I would never think that those two would be hanging out.
Right? Speaking of, like, unlikely collisions, right? They did, like, an album together just for the
fuck of
it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So was Buckethead a ripoff of Palehead? Because it sounds kind of similar.
Probably. I'd say yes. I mean, Buckethead might be Al Jorgensen for all we know. Possible.
Buckethead's been around for a while.
What? Now, stay with me on this. Here's my pitch. Just like Palehead... But instead of a pail, it's a bucket.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I think there's potential.
My elves.
Noah, did you tell us what your pick was?
And then my pick is Alleviate by Leprous off of their last album, Pitfalls. And it was based off of an email that we got.
Oh, yeah. You should talk about that.
All right. Let me pull up that email. Good transition. I believe it was from Kyle.
I'm just
right?
full of transitions today, huh?
You're transitioning?
I'm transitioning. My big announcement.
So Kyle emailed us. And by the way, if you have some feedback, if you're listening to the show and we ask a question or we say something that triggers an important piece of information that we absolutely need to know and share with other livecast listeners, please reach out to us. HateMail@metalinjection.net. That's our email address. And you could send a traditional email. You could write it. A letter like Lou Reed would, and then have your assistant take a photo of it and then email that. Or you can record a voice memo.
Is there a mailing address for Metal Injection?
We don't have a P.O. box. No.
So how do people send you demos?
They email them.
What?
We do not accept physical.
I have a CD to send
you. We don't accept physical. No, sorry.
That's sad.
Let me pull up this email. So Kyle's email says, I want Noah's opinion on an album from 2019.
Why is he so angry?
He wants. Who are you to want? Who are you?
So entitled.
So he writes, he starts the email.
Who are you?
He starts the email. Hi, guys. Just wanted to say thank you for the live cast every week. Your archives make me smile every day at work when little else can. Aww. Anyway, Susan, I wanted to ask Noah. Oh, my God. Side story. I met another girl who spelled her name Noah, N-O-A. Blew my mind. So he wanted to ask Noah what she thought about Leprous's last album, Pitfalls. It clicked with me right away instrumentally and lyrically, whereas I've yet to really get into their back catalog. What did you think, and what other releases of theirs really connected with you? Lastly, more Bruno and Bobka on video streams, please. I one love. Goodbye, Kyle.
Well, obviously, I love Leprous. I love the singer. Like, his voice is so dynamic. I think it's like the ultimate like prog. Like modern prog band. The first album that I got into was Bilateral. That's how I found out about them. So I guess like that would be the quintessential album to listen to. And yeah, I think they're very talented. I've seen them live once and they can really, like the singer can really hit all those notes. And I just appreciate the musicianship as well. But yeah, love that band.
Rob, what's your favorite song by them?
My favorite song by them?
And the song that I picked on the Spotify playlist, Alleviate, I just like, that's like vocally on that album, that's my favorite. So enjoy it.
I don't think I have a favorite, but I do enjoy Leprous.
You have a favorite album?
All of them equally. No. I listen to Pitfalls. I really like Pitfalls. But not.
What's your
not
favorite album that wasn't already named on this episode of the Metal Injection?
Well, Pitfalls was their last album, so that's how I listen.
I would be curious as to what Darren thinks about it, because I know that you appreciate like singing and like.
Sure, let's play a little.
People who can like really hit high notes and stuff. So I'd be curious to get your opinion on it.
I will thrash it or trash it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I'll pull it up right now.
Why don't you play the song that I chose?
Below? All right.
Alleviate.
Oh, Alleviate. I'm sorry.
There's like a part like into the song.
There's a music video and everything.
Oh, yeah. Let's watch the music video.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that
oh,
Kevin Nash.
Yeah. Where is this band from?
Sweden.
From Norway.
Oh, that was close.
Is this Gautier?
This is pushing the boundaries of what is considered metal, I feel.
Well, does it kick in or what?
It does.
Yeah. It sounds like it could either go into metal or into like 100% pleasure, 100% pain, 100% dedicated. Remember the name. I'm reserving judgment because I feel like it's going to kick in.
Yeah, yeah. There's a part where he like really... like explodes with his voice.
I'm willing to allow this to rock.
Well, is there more of this or more of the rocking? Because if it's more than 50% this, then you have to judge it on that.
Wait, it's about to come.
Here we go. Well, we're 2 minutes into a 3.5 minute song, so.
If this was a true thrash it or trash it, we'd have had to decide by now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm giving it a chance. It was recommended by two people I respect.
Oh my God.
Come on.
So what do you think, Darren?
Well, I want to promote our playlist, so I'm just going to... I don't want to say anything. We have it's a great playlist.
No, come on. Just say it. You're not impressed?
It sounds like a Lexus ad.
Oh.
Yeah, no, don't like it. Sorry.
Is there? Do they have any rock songs that we could like listen to?
Oh, Sid.
What? Like,
oh,
really,
God.
Like, if they're like for metalheads, there's got to be something heavier.
I'd say, so Pitfall does feel like a more like melodic album. I think if you go to Bilateral, that would be like heavier. So why don't you check that out, Sid, for next week?
Or Rob could cue it up right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave the listeners thinking that this is all that this band has to offer. If there's a different version, let's both sides it a little bit right now.
Yeah, I'm open to that, but no.
Because like 2 months from now, we could have the lead singer of this band as a guest. Okay.
That was promising.
Yeah, let me go back.
You shouldn't have gone back. Oh, okay. Got a good voice. Oh, I was enjoying that 5 seconds there.
What is that album cover? Is that like a demon in a thing of in a pitcher of lemonade?
So it looks like, yeah.
The mermaid demon.
Inside of a wheelbarrow. With an anteater pulling it.
And who is the slave girl on the anteater? And what, she's being fed shrooms?
This is a visual depiction of a Mad Libs game.
Yeah.
All right, give me a name. Give me a thing. A lemonade pitcher. Okay. Vehicle. A wheelbarrow. All right.
Anteater with a feather for a tail. Mushrooms.
There you go. So it's a little prog rocky.
Yeah. The second one's better than the first one. I'll say that.
Yeah.
For sure. But not my cup of tea. He has a good voice.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about mostly, if you liked his voice.
Definitely like his voice. Don't like how it's being applied.
I will say he definitely believes he has a good voice.
He's
definitely very confident in himself.
You can hear the conviction.
Yes.
Okay.
This is being a little facetious, but I do genuinely think he has a good voice. I think that's a very talented band. I don't like that kind of music. I don't know. It's just not.
That's fine. That's fair.
It's too soft, I guess. I don't know. Not that everything needs to be like thrash metal or something, but it's just like very, it's like easy listening, sort of, I guess. I like to be challenged.
I don't know. Those high notes were challenging for me. I have to admit.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like that stuff. I like that part of it. I like all the vocals are good. It's just a very weak tea kind of backing band.
There was no like climax to it.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of blue balls there.
Yeah.
Come on, hit me. Let's go. Yeah.
You want to hear it the old school way.
OS for life. In life, music hits you, and then you are moved. In school, you are moved. And I don't know. I don't know where to go. Take it east. That's how I close that up. With that dumb cigar. Pudgy's meatball head.
All right. Well, I think at this point, this is a good point to call it. What do you guys think?
What are we calling?
Mikey Bibble.
Okay.
Call it Mikey Bibble.
Mikey Bibble.
What, like, are we ever going to get sick of that?
I certainly am not.
I think it's like one of our top 30 sound bites.
Rob, can I ask a quick question? In the upper right hand corner there in the toolbar, there's a little crescent moon. What does that do?
It's the website has a dark mode.
Ooh.
If you would like
only,
a dark background.
It's only articles about black metal?
No.
Click that?
The background becomes black. That's it.
Shouldn't that be the default for a metal site?
No. It's harder to read.
Oh, I hear the ice cream truck coming.
Yeah, it's outside my apartment.
Oh, is you? Can you give me a push pop?
Sure. It'll be melted by the time I get to your place, though.
Okay. Just G-chat it to me.
Okay.
I'll 3D print the push pop.
Mm.
The dark mode looks really nice. I'm looking at it now. I highly suggest
checking
it out. Let's
see. All right.
Let's see. Let me hide all my porn.
You were just sharing the screen a moment ago.
I was using a different screen.
That looks better.
Yeah, that looks way better.
By the way, we should have said something about Ozzy because he took his glasses off and showed his gray hair.
Oh, yeah, we could show this.
Everyone was saying how old he looks. I think he looks older with the fucking glasses on, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that picture made him look like 10 years younger.
See, to me, it wasn't the hair that made it weird. It's like his mouth, his jaw looked like...
Yeah, it looked like he got Botox or something.
Or like he had like jaw cancer and had to have part of his face removed. It just looked different.
Let's see it.
Rob's trying to press the link.
There we go. So
he and Sharon look so much alike. I think what happens when you spend time with someone for so long.
Yeah.
Right?
She just looks like a little Russian boy to me. She always had like a very
she looks like a Russian grandma, not a Russian boy.
The same. So so this is the photo. Like, I think what's jarring, although it's really there's nothing like when I saw this, I was like, all right, is just that his hairs are gray. He didn't dye his hair.
Well,
and
if you
typically
saw him,
if
you passed by that car, would you recognize that to be Ozzy?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't.
Because he never appears that way. He always wears the dumb glasses. The glasses make him look older, frankly.
For me, it would be like, why? Here, I feel like my reaction would be, this guy looks so familiar. What, I can't place. Who is it? Who is it? And then, like, 3 days later, it'll just be, oh, my God!
But he is what, 70 years old? What, how old is he?
Yeah, something like that.
He looks great for 70-year-old.
Is it also 70. Possible that he doesn't have his false teeth in, and that's why his face looks different? Because that does make your face look different if you don't have your teeth in. All these pictures, his mouth is closed.
I mean, I'm the first person to dunk on people, but come on. He's 70 years. He's 70 years old. Give him
a
fucking break.
Yeah. Especially with all the drugs he's done. Get out of here.
I wasn't even making a joke about the false teeth. Like, legitimately, that makes a face look different. That's what it could be.
I agree. You're probably right.
Yes, and we've seen you without your false teeth.
Oh, God. Hideous. I mean, more hideous.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, when I saw this, it wasn't just a, like, oh my God, he looks so old. It was just like, I wouldn't recognize him in public. That's the reaction I had.
I think he looks fine, and it's just like, I think it's a combination of these photos being very high quality zooms, you know, so it's like very detailed, and people are probably used to just seeing like retouched photos of Ozzy always, you know, like with makeup, like compared to this.
I'll stand by what I said. He looks old as fuck in that picture. He looks way older in that picture than the other one with the gray hair. He looks terrible normally.
It just
looks
like two different people to me.
It's like a running meme that he looks like shit and he's old and he doesn't have his shit together. And this picture makes him look less like that, I feel.
Yeah, here's
he's against Trump? Is that what that is?
If Donald Trump says, well, he's against his response to coronavirus.
If Marky Bibble says something, I do that thing. I don't do the opposite. I listen to Marky Bibble.
But yeah, there you go. Ozzy slams face tattoos.
He's got a lot of opinions, this fucking guy.
In this picture, he sort of looks like Carrie Fisher. Like a recent Carrie Fisher photo.
That's the rejected slides from the Star Wars movie where they CGI'd her. We got to scrap this whole scene. It looks like Ozzy Osbourne.
No.
I'm not face tattoos. It makes me look dirty. Well, what the fuck is on your face?
What is happening with this website, Rob?
Sorry.
There's like more ads than there is story.
That's not true.
So critical.
Get out of here.
Rob, you should use ad block when you use metal injection.
How dare you?
Everybody, when you... No.
We're going to
edit that out.
You know what you should have? Like, in addition to the light mode and dark mode, you should have an option where all the text is in, like, black metal font.
I thought you were going to say Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Oh,
Comic
no,
Sans.
That would be just for me, but I don't presume to think that the...
Sid mode.
Yeah, typical metal injection reader has the same taste.
Rob, you should have a skin for Metal Injection where it's all the same content, but it's presented with the Lambgoat website design. You can win over those people.
By those people, you mean Noah.
Yes.
But yes.
They're like the Lambgoat page, it's like no design whatsoever. It's just a list.
It's minimalist. You like that? That's why you prefer it?
Yeah, minimalist. Minimalism rules.
You're not changing, Rob. They're not changing. They're not updating their fucking bougie website every 2 months. Like some people.
It's been like 7 years.
All right, 2 months.
You were 30? The last time you updated the site, you were 30.
When you put it that way, yeah. It's disgusting.
A time ago. That's like only 7 years since we got arrested. You get arrested, you get stopped by a cop and change the website the same day once every 7 years.
That's Rob's livecast curse.
But then everything ends up fine for Rob.
But a curse for Rob, it's cause and effect for Rob. It's a curse for me. I didn't do shit.
Unbelievable. Are you going to start bringing your wallet with you now?
Well, I took a photo of my ID, so I'm good.
All right. Good for you.
watch the next cop who pulls you over. It's like, that's not a thing. I need to see your actual ID, motherfucker. Get out of the car.
Why do they need to see it?
That's maybe the cop that pulled you over was a fan of Metal Injection.
Yeah.
I would think so.
It's a prank that that guy tells everybody. So the next time he gets stopped, the jerk off is like, I got a jerk peg on my license.
I guess I should just take my license. I don't need my wallet, just my license.
Yeah.
Why can't you take your license? Explain that to me.
It's not like I can't. I just don't.
It's
I just
in
don't
his
take
wallet,
my
wallet and he doesn't want to take his wallet.
You
yeah.
have to take your wallet into the water. Just like lock it up in your car when you park the car, go in the water, come back.
Right, but
or just do that with
but
your
then
license.
But then I forget my wallet in my car.
I see. Well, just that's, remember, then you won't. You know, seems better
yeah.
than getting arrested. Write a note.
Or just don't speed. I just shouldn't speed. I think that's.
You're so eager to get to the beach.
You could say don't speed, but they could pull you over for some bullshit. You know, make something up, whatever.
I'm white.
They don't know you're white from back there. They might pull you over hoping you're black, and then you're not, but they have to pretend and still harass you.
That's fair. I'm just going to carry my license.
Yeah.
Carry my license.
Good idea. I agree with that.
All right, let's get to our weekly shout-outs of our top Livecast fans of the week. Of course, you could be a top Livecast fan of the week by... Whoops.
Oh.
Leave that. Leave that play. That's going to be the music this week.
Okay. Do that.
It's very good.
You just don't want to hear Hulk Hogan? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, nothing wrong with that, but, you know, maybe change it up now. It's been a while.
So you could be a... Sid, you're muted. You could be a top Livecast fan of the week by joining our Patreon and doing our $10 tier at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. Is the audio all right here? What's going on?
Yeah, I hear you good.
I think you should sing the names like he sings.
All right, here we go. Here are our Eric. Oh, I'm just going to turn into Paul Bearer. Eric A. Johnson. Benjamin
El Duo.
Cattle decaf.
What's the name before cattle decaf? It cut you
Mikey
off.
Mikey Bibble. Mikey Bibble.
Dead are cattle decaf. The mayor's kipper. Rock destroy.
No, it's cutting you off, Rob.
But too loud.
No, again.
Yeah, let me start.
No, not even.
No, the microphone is protecting the listeners from this.
M-I-M-I-N. Gender. Chasseur, chasseuset, la croix, the crustacean, cessation, aka got stopped. Ash Bosniak, Dallas, Saba Vampiro, Vampiro, Vampiro.
Beautiful.
Shane, you go like tacos. Here goes. Ah, Josh. And those are our top Livecast fans of the week.
Bravo, Rob.
Bravo. Bravo. I'll take
Bravo.
It. We're out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Leprous. Thank you to our callers, our listeners.
Mikey Bibble.
Thank you to Mikey Bibble. Thank you to Ja Rule, Metallica, Howard Stern.
Leprous.
We're out of here. Leprous again. We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Can't dance to this.
And hates it.
Me too. I'm just putting on a good face.
All right. Oh, good time.
Mikey Bibble.
All right, good stuff. I'll upload it in a few minutes. Bye.
Bye-bye.